Hello, and welcome to Rolling Out's Sisters with Superpowers podcast. I am your host, Portia Monique, and today we have Nina Parker, who is a TV host, content creator, and entrepreneur. Please welcome her to the virtual stage. Nina, how are you doing today?
Hi, good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So first off, I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our Seagram Escapes Sisters with Superpowers virtual empowerment event with Claudia Jordan, Lala Milan, and B. Simone. There was so much valuable information shared. So if you guys missed it, then I hate it for you. No, just kidding. We'll include a replay of the event in this podcast, but it was fire. But of course, Nina, you were the moderator, so you were able to bring the best out of our panelists. However, we didn't get a chance to really get into your story much, and that's why we're here today. So let's go ahead and get started. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. You know, I'm busy these days, so it's you know, it's a lot of juggling, but other than that, I'm really good. I'm very blessed.
Yes, yes, yes. So speaking of being busy, walk us through your journey, right? So your busy journey of how you built your brand. Just briefly walk us through. How did you build your brand of Nina Parker?
I don't know. I really do hate the word brand because I feel like people are more than one thing. So I don't know if I have a brand. I just feel like I'm me, you know, I'm just myself and I'm multidimensional. So there's, you know, I do TV, I do, you know, fashion, I kind of do a little bit of everything. And, you know, really, I just started to cultivate what I love to do from the things, you know, from cultivating my career through, like, what I love to do, I should say, and like, my passions. And, you know, some things, like fashion was never something I had on my to-do list. It's just something that I kind of walked into and wanted to see a change. So, you know, honestly, everything that is a part of me is really authentically who I am.
I love that. So I know you said you don't like the word brand. However, if you had a brand, describe it in three words. What would you say your brand is?
Again, I just hate it so much, but, you know, because I feel like I never want to get stuck to one thing and be married to that because we evolve and we grow, you know, so I've always never wanted to, you know, that's why I never wear, like a lot of people will have the same hairstyle or, you know, have these things that are signature. But for me, I've never wanted to do that because I've always wanted to evolve. But, you know, I would say the things that are authentic to me as Nina Parker would just be like authenticity, you know, tenacity, and probably just, you know, the tenacity and probably just a little bit of insatiability as well.
Okay, insatiability. I like that word. But I also heard ever evolving, right? So I would definitely say that, you know, from listening to you, that you have an evolving brand, right? So you not only you not only do fashion, you not only do hosting, but you're so much more. So thank you for that. Now, in your journey, what would you say was one important lesson and or pitfall that you encountered that you had to learn the hard way?
I would say the lesson I've learned the hard way is that, you know, you can do your best. You could do your very best. Be the nicest that you've ever been, try the hardest, work the hardest, and there are going to be people who just don't appreciate it. You know, I think growing up, I was always taught, you know, go to school, get a degree, work hard, and, you know, and what you do will matter and people will love you. And I think what you do will matter, but it doesn't always mean that people will love you. And so, you know, for me, I've tried to really stay connected to the Black community. I've tried to do my part with community service and also just making sure I use my platform in a way that is a voice for Black people and for women. But, you know, there are still times when people aren't satisfied or, you know, or the one day you're joking, people will say, well, why aren't you talking about this? And so there's just never a way to please everybody. And I think I wish I knew earlier that there's just never going to be a time where everybody loves you. There's always going to be, you know, times where people are critical, people don't love you, people hate you for your success. And it's just a part of what comes along with it. And, you know, it's a lot of stress once you let that go and decide, I'm just going to do what's best for me. And hopefully people feel that.
Yeah, that's that is a hard lesson to learn. But the sooner you find that out, the better off you are. You can't please everybody. And honestly, it's none of your concern for pleasing everybody, right? So you just do the best that you can. You show up the best that you can show up authentically yourself, right. and continue to do those things that you know are good and true. So yeah, you definitely cannot please everyone. Now you're talking about true to the Black community. Let's talk about how the entertainment industry has been particularly hard for Black women. What's been your experience?
Yeah. I mean, that's really open into question, because it's been a lot of things, but challenging for sure, especially being a plus size Black woman. There are, not a lot of spaces for us, although that is changing. I mean, I got into television nationally because I've been in TV for a long time, but my first national television show in 2007, and thankful to God that ever since then I've been on a nationally televised show since. But I think there's a lot of challenges, and then, there are a lot of people who feel like you should just be happy to be in the space. So once you make it there, you're not allowed, or you're not given the space to want better in that space or want to create or do something different. People kind of feel like, well, you're lucky enough just to be here. You should probably just deal with it and be quiet. And, one of the things I do is I'm really never quiet. So if I see that there's something can be better, or if there can be changes, or if there's, any type of something that's not equal, that's something I strive to change. And I've found challenges with that at different places or different periods in my career. So I think, in general, I just think it's one thing to like get in the door. It's another thing to stay there. And a lot of times that's the majority of the fight.
Mm-hmm. Staying there. Yeah. We get that. Now let's pivot a bit into success. We want to know, how do you define success, and how would you suggest going about it?
These days, success to me is peace and happiness. And I think, success is really relative. I think a lot of people equate success with monetary things. And I think, listen, money is great, being able to buy a home or not want for money or food or, a house is, those are amazing things, and those are blessings. There are people who go their whole lifetimes without being able to attain those things. So those things are always wonderful. But I have learned as I've gotten older that a peace of mind is really important. Boundaries is important to me. Having good people around me are important to me. And that doesn't always equate with money. So, I think that's always going to be something that's relative, and not everybody wants the same thing. Not everybody wants to work, as much as I work to get the things that I get. Some people are satisfied, with what they have, and they make do, and they have a very happy life. So I think, when we look at success, it has to be more than just how many commas are in your bank account. I think success is your own definition. And for me, it's being at peace and being in a place where I can say I'm happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah. When you were going down your list, I said, check, check, check. People that's good, that's around, check. Peace, check. Stress relief, check. Like all of that is in my wheelhouse for success as well. So,
for sure.
Now, so we've been hinting at it. Like, we haven't really addressed your breaking out and becoming this entrepreneur, this nationally renowned entrepreneur with the Nina Parker collection, right? So let's talk about that for a second. How did you start monetizing your brand, particularly with the launch of the Nina Parker collection at Macy's?
So are you asking me like how the clothing line started?
Yeah. So how did you, how did it start?
So for me, it was something that I kind of put on a vision board that, at the end of 2019, it was like something that I wanted to pursue and look into. I kind of had this list of things that I kind of had this come to Jesus moment, I would say, about what I wanted to do with my life, where I saw myself going. Because I think, a lot of times people, we were talking about success, like, okay, well, you're on TV, you're doing this, like you should be good. But for me, I'm, of course, want to evolve and do other things. And so a clothing line was kind of on that list. And I was approached before I even had a chance to really reach out. I was approached by a manufacturer who later became my partner to partner up and start to build the line. And they approached Macy's, and Macy's was really willing to do a partnership with us. They were excited about it, and they wanted to expand their plus collection. And I wanted to do something different in the plus world and create some fashions that I just hadn't seen before. especially in store. I think a lot of times when you're plus, there's a lot of availability online, but it's very rare that you can go into a store and buy something that you feel really comfortable in, that you feel that's young and fresh. And for me, I wanted more of that. And so that was really a goal of mine. So to be able to partner with Macy's and do it in the stores and online was a really big deal for me. And, you know, really worked out really beautifully and very fast. So by early 2020, we were already starting, you know, designing the line that eventually launched this year.
Okay, so let me tell you something. So you did that, right? I just want to say that. Congratulations on that. But you said you put it on your vision board in 2019. Was this always a goal, like to start your fashion line, or did it become, was this like a new goal? Because, you know, sometimes we have like these long-term goals that it might be in the back of our mind, but we're like.
No, it's a new goal for me. It was kind of like a trial and error, just because, you know, my television show, Nightly Pop, we film almost every single day. And so I would have to, you know, have outfits and things for the show. And we were just finding a real challenge in finding clothes for me, you know, that I would have like one good outfit. And then I'd be like, okay, now we got to, you know, get the rest of the week out of the way. And a lot of the clothes were looking the same or fitting very awkward. And it was a frustration for me. And so I started kind of tailoring my clothes and designing or pulling clothes apart with my stylist, of ripping off a sleeve here and, you know, making the short sleeve, or, you know, really trying to figure out what could be unique looks. And we had to really make it a second job to like style me for the show. And, you know, and that was became a lot of frustration with the quality of items, how things fit, the availability, how long it took to get them, that kind of thing. And with that frustration is really what burst my line, because I was like, this shouldn't be this difficult, you know? And so I was like, if I have access and money and I'm having a hard problem, I can imagine the regular person who's just trying to get something to wear to a birthday party, what their challenges are. And I just didn't want that for anybody else.
Absolutely. Well, you manifested that. I'm not going to say the
Thank you.
The heck out of that thing.
Thank you.
And we are very proud of you, of course. So we've
been thank you so much.
We support you, and we make sure that we are patronizing Macy's to support the Native Department.
Please, yes, please. And there's a new collection every month. So with the exception for July, where we took a break for July, you know, there'll be a new collection for the, you know, every month for the rest of the year. So August, September, October, November, you know, we're coming out with new items, stuff for the holidays. So, you know, it'll always be something new and fresh popping up. So people, you know, won't get tired of the same things. And, you know, I really want people to know they have options.
Absolutely. So y'all heard it. Go and make sure every month is a new collection is coming out, especially for Christmas. Hit that thing up for Christmas, because Christmas and before, you know, we got Christmas in July right now, even though there's
right
we still can make sure we're patronizing.
Please.
Absolutely. So let's talk about advice to people wanting to start off in the entertainment industry as a career. You are known as a veteran, like, right? So for a long time, you was like the only Black face out there that we can, that we could associate with Black women doing stuff in TV, like aside from Oprah, like aside from the sitcoms, like we knew Nina Parker, we knew her face, right? So what is one piece of advice that you would give to people who want to start off in the entertainment industry as a career?
I mean, my probably biggest piece of advice is just to not give up. You know, I know it's like super cliche, but it's true, because I think, you know, you get like 10 no's in a row and it's, you think, okay, well, maybe this isn't for me. And not everybody is going to see the vision. You have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with the fact that some people are going to look at you and say, you know, most of the time, especially if you're a Black woman, people will underestimate you. And that's something I had to get used to. It used to really frustrate me, because I would feel like, you know, like I read a prompter like nobody's business, and I would go into spaces and they would be like, do you know how to read a prompter? And I'll be like, and they would be surprised at my level of skill sometimes. And I didn't see them surprised at my white counterparts. And so, you know, being underestimated sometimes is your biggest weapon, because you really come in there and people have these low expectations and you blow them away with the amount of skill you have. So, you know, honing on that skill, studying your craft is really important. Like, I know a lot of people who think they're really good at their job and they don't, you know, but you still need to watch other people. I watch young people do interviews. I watch people who, you know, are new in the games conduct interviews. Like, I like to see everybody's interview style and the questions that they ask. And I'm never feel like I'm in the space where I don't have anything more to learn. Like, I learn from young people. I learn from older people. I learn from my peers. Like, it's not just your mentors and the people you look up to that you can get, you know, gain information from. The people right next to you oftentimes have great, valuable information and skills as well. So, you know, utilizing those resources and not being afraid to ask people to help you.
That's very key. A lot of people think that asking for help is a sign of a weakness. Yeah. It's actually a sign of
strength. Yeah.
So
I ask for help in a minute.
Yes, all of that and more. So in ramping down this interview, we got a couple more questions. But I wanted to talk about how fame affects your personal life. Because we know you, right? Hey Nina, you know, we might just see you at the mall. But how do you balance your personal life and business? And then after that, how do you practice self-care, fun, and relaxation? So the first one, balancing your personal life and business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am really private with my personal life. Like, you will see me on Instagram and posting, you know, mainly about work. I really value my close friendships and family and you know, even the men that I date. And so I value their privacy as well. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people just don't have good intentions for you. We've all seen it where someone posts their boyfriend for the first time and then all of a sudden people are DMing them saying, oh, he was in my DM. Or, you know, it's just like I sometimes feel like people don't want to see other people happy. And so I guard that really carefully. Unless it's like Mother's Day or Father's Day, I'm usually not posting my family. Like, I'm just really private about that. And those are the boundaries that I create for myself, not really for their protection, but just because I'm so overprotective. I'm afraid about what I might say if people, you know, say something crazy. So for me, that's just something I like to keep close to my chest. And that's what keeps me sane, because I feel like these people are protected. But, you know, I navigate just like everybody else. I'm going out to eat. I'm going to restaurants. Like, I don't hide at all. But I'm very low key. Like, I'm not really a person who's on the scene, because I've never wanted to be married to that or have it to feel me in any kind of way. So when I get invited to like a lot of stuff, unless I'm supporting somebody, I probably won't go. Just because I found that LA is a place you can get really lost in the sauce and you have to really stay focused. And if the goal becomes being seen as opposed to your craft, that distraction can really kind of deteriorate your goals.
No, I definitely feel that. LA is definitely different. But we still love it, you know, sunshine, blue sky.
Yeah, of course. You just have to learn how to navigate. I think any place is amazing. You just can't, it's just like anything. You can't have too much of anything. You know, overindulging can be toxic for any of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in the spirit of not getting lost in the sauce, like you just said, how do you practice self-care and relaxation?
I just try to do something for myself every day, even if it's something small, whether it's, you know, like reading a chapter in a book or taking a bath or a hot shower at the end of the day, or doing a facial, even if it's just, you know, having a phone call that I want to make. There's a lot of my day that's delegated to things I have to do before my business. And it's unavoidable. And sometimes, even though it's something you love, it's not, you don't always want to do it. You know, I have an early call time for filming. There's things that I have to do. So at some point during my day, I like to do something just for myself. And that just kind of keeps me in good spirits, because this gives me something to look forward to, whether it's, you know what, for dinner, I'm gonna make these tacos tonight, or you know what, I'm gonna paint my nails tonight, or go get my toes done, or do something for myself that is fulfilling, even if it's small, that just kind of makes me feel like I'm putting myself first in some way.
Self-care is so I think people take it for granted, and it's so important. It's so very, and it's healing
for
Stress can put you in the hospital. I'm just trying to let y'all know.
Yes, absolutely.
Last question. I would be remiss if I did not ask you about your superpower, with this being Sisters with Superpowers presented by Rolling Out. So if you had a superpower as a Black woman, what would you consider it to be and why?
I think a Black woman's strength is her superpower. I really don't think the world understands what it feels like to be a Black woman navigating, just trying to do your regular tasks throughout the day, and how many people are bothered with just our existence. sometimes I think just purely existing is a threat to a lot of people. And so for me, I just think the resilience of a Black woman and our strength is an amazing superpower. And I know, and I, there are Black women I've seen go through things that I know no one else will be able to make it through. So, you know, I would say our resiliency and strength is something that is within me, and that's my superpower.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time, Nina Parker. Yeah, we appreciate you.
Of course.
Congratulations on everything that you're doing, all of your success and all of that. And this has been another episode of Sisters with Superpowers, brought to you by Rolling Out. Thanks again, Nina. Take care. Oh, Nina, one last question.
Yeah.
One last question, because people who live under a rock may not know. Where can we keep up with you? Where can we find you, follow your journey?
So you can, my television show, Nightly Pop, airs every night at 11:30 on E!, or you can go to any of my social media, Twitter or Instagram. It's the same. It's MZ Gossip Girl, Ms. Gossip Girl. You can find me there.
Thank you again. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, sis.
Thank you. Bye-bye.